So I want to welcome everyone here this morning. It's good to be able to come together to worship God. This morning, I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. And the statement the Apostle Paul makes in that passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." You know, it is the style of our day, and has been for some time, and probably a long time, that people want to preach on such things as social issues or political situations or all kinds of different psychology and teaching of men. And that's the way people are sometimes. That's what they want to hear. And there's nothing wrong with mentioning some of those things sometimes. There's nothing wrong with gaining an understanding from man's teaching. But we have to, if we're going to preach God's message, we have to always go back to the gospel of Christ. When there is a direct relationship to morality and Christianity, sometimes these things are important to mention. And yet, ultimately, we always have to go back to the teaching for the purpose of the preaching of the gospel. And that's what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. He says, "For we preach not ourselves." He didn't preach himself and how great he was. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a while. But he says, "But Jesus Christ is Lord." That was the center point. That was the foundation of all the preaching of the gospel that Paul was writing about here. And ultimately, that's what we have to preach about also. And that's the purpose given to us in the Great Commission when Jesus says, "Go and preach the gospel to the whole creation." We are not authorized as Christians to preach or teach anything except what Christ has given to us. Now again, we might use illustrations and ideas from other things we've read, but the foundation always has to be the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul told Timothy, "Preach the Word, be urgent in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And he says there's going to be times that people will come with itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. He says, no, you hold to the foundation of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. You cannot change anything else. You cannot add to it. You cannot take from it. And so that's what we need to do today. And Paul preached this here. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake." Paul says, "I'm simply the messenger. I'm simply the servant that brings you the message of my Lord, my Master." And that should be our attitude today. So we look at this particular passage and what it means to you and me. First of all, he says, "For we preach not ourselves." Now again, there is a great opportunity in the world. You turn on radio, TV, internet, whatever it might be. There are all kinds of preachers today preaching themselves and some teaching and doctrine to make us feel good and everything's fine. We don't have to change our way of life. We don't have to repent. Everything's fine because God loves us and that overcomes everything else. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. He didn't mean that he never made personal references. He did. He often talked about his personal experiences in Paul's preaching in Acts chapter 17, for example, in the city of Athens. He was preaching on Mars Hill to the great philosophers and teachers of the day. And he used illustrations of himself and then come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the center point of our salvation. In Acts 22, when he was before the council in Jerusalem, he talked about all of the Old Testament and what it did and brought Christ into that and how that was effective to him because he was a persecutor of the church. Excuse me, and he had been before. But he says, "Now, because of the grace and mercy of God, I've been forgiven." and I proclaim your message, the gospel message. And in Acts chapter 26, when he was before King Agrippa, he says, here is the gospel. And Agrippa says, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Even King Agrippa understood what the gospel message was. Paul explained how he had come out of the way before and been faithful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had to defend his position as an apostle of Christ before the people of Corinth, and many of them did not want to accept that Paul was an apostle just as much as Peter or John or the others. But he did mean here in this passage, his experiences were only incidental to the preaching of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul said, "There I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He before had said, "I didn't come in great powerful words of all of these wonderful things that people have to say." He said, "I came simply to preach the gospel of Christ." He didn't exalt himself. He preached, and that word preached comes from a word meaning to proclaim, to announce, to herald. And the idea is when a king would send a messenger to another king and saying, "I'm coming to visit you in your country." And he would send the herald, the one to proclaim, to announce the coming of the king. Paul says, that's what I'm doing when I preach the gospel of Christ. And so he did. But we live in a time that, you know, people want everything to be done for themselves. And it's probably not so much different from any other time, but selfishness seems to be the primary motivating force in our time and in our society. You know, I want what I want, and I want it now, and I want it the way I want it. That's the attitude of so many people in the world. But Paul says, we do not preach ourselves. We do not preach what we want or we think. Paul recognized that kind of attitude was in the people of his own time. He says, no, I'm not going to fall into that. Neither should anybody else in the preaching of the message of the gospel. And in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, he says, are we beginning again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some do, epistles of commendation from you or for you? In other words, he says, I don't need a letter of commendation from somebody else so I can come and preach the gospel. What he's saying basically is my letter of commendation is Christ and the gospel of Christ that I have come to preach to you. I deliver what God has given to me. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. These were the facts of the preaching that he was doing. And in a sense, he was saying, I am going to do this, and that's all I'm going to do. Now again, he made personal references and made references to the way people were living and other things like that. But that was incidental to the fact that he's preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're to do also. Whether it's personally and individually to somebody else, or to a group of people maybe, depending on the situation, or just by the example that we set in every day we live, if we're living in Christ, we are preaching by the example that we set. And of course, preaching of self is directly opposite to the spirit of Christianity itself. Jesus Christ came to this earth to give of himself completely for you and me. And that's the idea here. Jesus condemned those who built themselves up in false pride. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15, he says there, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass the sea and the land to make one proselyte, and when you have made him, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves." They wanted followers after themselves, not from what God wanted. And they were living under the law of Moses, and a proselyte was a Gentile who was taught and believed and took on the teaching of the law of Moses and lived by it. And Jesus said, you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, you make all of these disciples to come after you because you're preaching yourself and your ways, not what the Bible is teaching, not what God's Word is teaching. And they cared more that the people believed and obeyed them and followed them than they did whether they did what God said or not. You know, our preaching and our teaching and our example to others has to be the same thing. And again, in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, Paul says, I came preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was the foundation of their message. That should be the foundation, not only our message, but the life we live every day. So he said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. And that was the foundation of everything else. He says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. The term Christ itself, Christ was not actually the name of the Messiah. That was his title. It is his title. The word Christ is Greek for the anointed one. The word Messiah is Hebrew for the anointed one. He is, in fact, the one that claimed that title because he was the Son of God. In John chapter 4 and verse 25, and with the woman at the well in Samaria, and Jesus began to talk to her, and he led her gradually to understand, and she says, I perceive you're a prophet. And then she asks him a couple of religious questions, and he answers those. And she says, after a while it dawned on her, seemingly, and Matthew 4, verse 25, says, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah comes, he that is called Christ. When he is come, he will declare unto us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you am he. In other words, I am this Christ, this Messiah that you're looking for. And now he has come to reveal God's message. Christ, the Messiah, like I said, is literally means the anointed one. He is the one anointed of God to be the King, the ruler, the Christ, the Savior, and all of those things. And it was the fulfillment of God's plan from the very beginning. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That was a prophecy of the coming of Christ in his birth. And in Luke chapter 4, we go back there. And in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, it says there, Luke 4 verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And he entered, as was his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So Jesus, it was his custom on the Sabbath day to go to the synagogue and worship God. So he stood up to read, verse 17. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, today has this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. Jesus says this passage in Isaiah is prophesying of me, the Christ, the Messiah. We read on down, well, they wanted to take him out and stone him to death because they thought he was blaspheming. And if he were not the Son of God, he would have been. But he was the fulfillment. So we are redeemed, we are reconciled to God because he is the Christ, the anointed one. But he was, Paul says, I preach Christ Jesus as Lord. Jesus was his name. He was conceived miraculously by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah prophesying to the future, he says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so he was named by God. Jesus was his name. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "And when 8 days were fulfilled for a circumcision, his name was called Jesus, which was so called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." That was always going to be his name. The word Jesus is from a Hebrew word meaning Savior. In fact, Jesus and Joshua, Joshua is the Hebrew form of the word Jesus. And so Christ is emphasized as his deity, his title, the fact that he was God in the flesh. Jesus emphasizes his humanity. He was born among us. He lived among us and lived a life like us. So he says, "I preach Christ Jesus as Lord." Now, there's a lot of people today that they proclaim, "Accept Jesus as your personal Savior." And we should do that according to what the Bible says. There are some that say, "Well, pray the sinner's prayer and call some telephone number and you'll be saved." Well, the Bible doesn't say that. We are to pray, but prayer is not what saves us. Our faith and obedience to the gospel. And prayer is one of the blessings we have because we have believed and have been saved by the blood of Christ. We can and should accept him on the terms which our Lord and Savior has set forth. And we can't be saved without it. In John 3 and verse 17, he says, "For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We are saved by Christ, by our faith and our obedience to him. But not many want to hear the idea that we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Many want him to be the Savior. We want to be saved eternally. We want to be have an eternal home. But many don't want to have Jesus as Lord and Master. The word Lord is defined as he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding, master or Lord, or the possessor and disposer of a thing, the owner, the sovereign, the prince, and the chief. That's what a Lord is. Now, many people want Christ to be their Savior, and we want to have the promise of eternal life. But they don't really want to accept him as Lord, because Lord indicates he has authority over our life every day we live. And that's what accepting his Lordship expects and demands of you and me. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus said, "If anyone comes unto me and hates not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, what Jesus is saying there, he's not talking about hating our brothers and sisters and our family. He says, by comparison to following him, he has to take first place no matter what. And so we have to look at it in that idea. We all can serve God and be faithful, but his will has to come first in our life above anything else, if we're truly going to be faithful to him. And so Paul says there, "I preach Christ Jesus as Lord." And that's what making Jesus the Lord of our lives means, to take him first. And by his grace and love and mercy, he's going to be with us, he's going to watch over us, and we're going to receive that eternal home. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, when Isaiah was called to be a prophet of God, first, he told God, I'm sorry, Lord, but I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a sinful man. You don't want me to be a prophet." Well, God cleansed him right there. In Isaiah 6 and verse 8, he says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." He wasn't saying, "Look how great I am and I can be a great prophet." He says, "Whatever I'm worth, accept me and I'll do the best I can." Now that'll be our attitude too, to put God first. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "And when Mary was told by the angel that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Lord and Savior, it says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." For it's whatever God's will is, I will follow. In Luke 22 and verse 42, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying there, he prayed to God the Father not my will, but yours be done. He wanted God to take away the burden of being crucified, but there was no other way. This was God's message, God's plan. And even Jesus himself could not go another way and for us to be saved. He had to endure for you and me, and he did. So Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 11, Jesus, in answer to his disciples, and it seems on several occasions as they were going here and there, that they were arguing about, okay, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And one might have said, well, I'm going to be greatest because of this, another because of that. James and John's mother came and asked Jesus to make them the two greatest in his kingdom when he came into his kingdom. But Jesus said in Matthew 23:11, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That completely upsets the whole idea that they had of who's going to be the greatest. And the same thing is for us. Selfishness is not a part of it. And we need to understand that if we're going to be a servant of Christ, we have to be a servant of each other. And that's the idea. And we have to be willing to serve others just as Jesus did. One of the greatest examples, he said, the night that he was betrayed, he actually washed the feet of his disciples. Here is the Lord, the Savior, washing the feet of those who are his servants and his disciples. And he says, well, this is what I've done for you. Now you do this for others. He set the greatest example. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says of Jesus, it says, have this mind in you which also was in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to explain that he gave of himself completely for you and me. Having the mind of Christ is to take him as our example every day we live. He served others. We're supposed to do the same thing. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't just tell us to do this. He set an example everywhere he went. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul there says, be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. He wasn't trying to exalt himself. He wasn't saying, I'm so great, so you just follow me. He's saying, you follow me as I follow Christ. He says, I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. Just as I follow Christ, you do the same. But he says this, that we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. And it's done for the sake of Jesus Christ. If there's no other reason given, that would be enough. There are many other reasons, of course, why we would preach and teach and serve as God's people. But that's the most important right there. But notice some things we are told about our service to others. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Paul says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, Christ's law is for us to be a servant to each other. He says, bear each other's burdens. Sometimes we can help people when they need a help. Sometimes we're in need of help, and they can help us. And that's the idea. And we are here to help each other along the way to eternal life. And Paul wrote that in Galatians chapter 6, and he set the example for many others. So many times he was persecuted, and the fact that it was concentrated upon him, others did not have to be persecuted as much. So he set an example of taking that upon himself. But he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So it's not just God's will. It's not just the law for us to follow. It is a way of life for us to live. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially toward them that are of the household of faith. Now, we have to serve everyone in the world as best we can, help in whatever way we can, spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever the world needs around us, we're to be able to help them as much as we can. But also, he says, but especially to the household of faith. That's where our service begins. It doesn't end there, but it begins with those of the household of faith first. We have to be ready to lift up others' burdens, whatever way it may be. As the Bible says, to laugh with them that laugh, cry with them that cry. Sometimes we need to do that. We have to be willing to give of ourselves. We go back to what Paul said. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. He says, we're serving you because of Christ. Selfishness and the preaching for self-interest has no place in the gospel of Christ. Paul didn't do it, neither should we. We have to be willing to serve him every day that we live and set an example. But preaching Christ Jesus as Lord, who died for us and for our sin, is at the heart of the gospel. It is the center point of everything else. There's no other person to whom we can turn. And Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, it says there, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was put upon him. That's a prophecy Isaiah made of the coming of Christ and his crucifixion and his death. God the Father placed on Christ our sin, the sin of all mankind for all time. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So Paul says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Well, how do we come in contact with that blessing? We have to hear the word of God proclaimed. And Romans 10:17, Paul again says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are many people in the world searching for faith, and they don't know where to find it. We have faith in Christ, in God, because the word which has been revealed to you and me. We have to believe that. We can't just hear it. We have to do something about it. We have to accept it by faith and belief. And John 8:24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Well, that passage right there, it says, except you believe that I am he. Jesus says, there's no other. You're going to die in your sins except you believe that I am this one, this Christ, this Messiah. And the idea, if you can read through the book of John several times, Jesus said, use the term I am to refer to himself. It's not an accident. Go all the way back to Exodus chapter 3, when Moses was at the burning bush, and he asked God, what is your name? And God said, I am, has sent you. This is what Jesus was saying. He says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. He is supplied there for understanding that he was the Christ. Also, we have to confess. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus said, everyone who should confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But he also says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father who is in heaven. We have to make the confession that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We have to turn from sin, which is repentance. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, the writer says, the Apostle Peter there says, repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Repentance means a change of heart and mind, which leads to a change of action and life. We have to do that. And of course, we then have to be baptized and immersed in water for the forgiveness of the sins that we have committed. That's why Peter, on the day of Pentecost, says, though to those who said, what shall we do? When they realized their crucifixion of Christ was upon them, they had the guilt of that. And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, for the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as our Lord shall, God shall call unto him. We have that opportunity now and every day we live to believe and to obey and to continue to serve. That's why Paul says, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. This morning, if you need to respond to Jesus' invitation, he says, come and I'll make you free. We have to be willing to do that. This morning, if you need to come, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing.